This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in the games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join that PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Simply head over to www.thepopcultures.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and if you're feeling real generous, join us on Patreon. Get over there, check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you.
Don't forget, www.thepopcultures.com is now live after like X amount of months of not having a website up. We've actually been up and running.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Quick PSA before we even get into the show.
Yes.
For those people that do like the show, you'll be getting a special bonus episode of the show tomorrow morning at 4 a.m.
Yeah, 4 a.m.
4 a.m.
There's something cool we've got our hands on that we can't talk about yet. With the embargo drop at that time, you'll get to see the game that we are playing. And I was chatting about it as well.
Yeah, that's it. So, into the show.
Hey, man.
Hey.
How's things?
Yeah, great.
This is the tough part, right? So, because the main topic this week is the impressions, right?
Correct.
Cool. So, we normally kick the show off with like, hey, what have you been playing? Like, well, what I've been playing is literally the main feature of this episode. Yeah. So, that kind of throws that out.
But I know we've both been playing Mario.
Yeah, we've been playing Mario.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
It's fucking rad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's so weird. I was like, we'll get into this in another video. So it's not very PlayStation related, so it's fine. But like Mario, I'm playing it. I'm like enjoying myself. It's not wowing me, but I can't find any way to fault it.
That's what it does.
And that's the thing. I'm having an all right time and I'm enjoying myself. And I'm enjoying the hunt for coins. But I'm like, well, is it worth a 10? Is it a 10? I'm like, no.
No.
But why?
I'm like, no game's worth a 10.
No, it's like...
But why not?
Yeah, but it's like, why? I'm like, well, normally you can find a reason. You're like, oh, you know, I can fault it here, I fault it there. I'm like, I can't fault it.
Story.
Yeah,
there's not what Mario games are about. Mario is great. It is...
Review coming probably Wednesday.
Review's coming, but it's a great game. I find myself just picking it up just for 15 minutes just to find a couple more moons, bail out, jump back in later, go to a new kingdom, find some more moons. It's great. It's polished. It's fantastic. It's the only 3D Mario I've played, so I've got no benchmark.
Yeah, we do. I played a little bit of Mario 64 like in an emulator once, and I was like, it's probably a bad idea. No, I just playing with like a keyboard. I'm like, hopefully this needs a joystick.
This sucks.
This is hot
trash. But yeah, we have been playing other games, one of which will be tomorrow's bonus episode, and the other two will be the main feature of the show.
Correct. So and you know what they are, because probably in the title. It's Wolfenstein and Assassin's Creed. Screen.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Straight into the news this week.
No fucking around.
No fucking around. And I may, I'll try if I can figure it out, I'll be putting timestamps for all the segments in the video description for those of you that just want to hear our thoughts and don't want to hear us prat on about the news or whatever else. If I figure it out,
depending on what you like about what we do, then now you have an option to find it.
And now it's a big ask. So if you only want to stick around for a little bit, we want to make sure you get what you need.
Spot on.
As we move into...
Oh, as we inform the players about this week in PlayStation News.
We got like, I don't know, 7-ish bits of news.
Yeah.
I didn't count. Number one, despite being a no-show at E3 2017 and this year's Paris Games Week, Dreams is still in development. In an interview with VG247, Sony's Senior Vice President of Worldwide Studios, Michael Denny, confirmed the game is still currently being worked on, despite the studio sharing very little about its latest project for 2 years. Quote, "It is still in development and it is still very, very exciting," Denny said. "We're big fans of everything Media Molecule has done and it's wonderful to see..." No. "And it's so wonderful and it's very much in development, very much still progressing, and will very much be exciting when we next talk about it." Then he teased when people can expect to see Dreams again, saying the game will return quite soon, and when it does, quote, "it'll blow us away." Continuing the quote, "It's going to be massive, it's incredible, we've shown lots of it before. When we come back with it again, that will be fairly soon without putting any dates on it." Of course you can't. "It's going to blow people away." In case you've forgotten, Dreams will be seeing players solving platforming puzzles by creating items in its levels and possessing characters in the world. It will also allow players to create worlds and look like living paintings, even sketching live with other players.
This game is very much dead.
No, it's not.
No, I'm being very hyperbolic. It's not dead. I mean,
yeah, not at E3, not at Paris. Like, and he's saying soon, see, like, could it be a PSX?
It has to be PSX. Like, there is literally no other conference between
until
now
and E3 next year.
Yeah, Gamescom's done. Like, Tokyo Game Show's done. Like, Media Molecule being a sort of being a Europe studio, it makes sense for them to come out during Paris Games Week. They're not there. Mm. So the only option is PSX.
Yeah, because pretty much at Paris Games Week, which we'll be talking about shortly, pretty much had everything else Sony is doing, yeah? New stuff we knew about, like, everything is there except Dreams. So if they're saving that one big thing for PSX, that could be it. But also, rumors, of course, we're just speculating.
But it also depends on sort of where they were going with Paris Games Week. For them, they were marketing as this is the second half of E3, which is really cool because I thought the second half of E3 would have been PSX. So it's interesting. But with everything that's been announced at Paris Games Week, which we'll get to in a minute, it doesn't really leave much of PSX. Mm. So having Dreams is potentially one of the key things.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Game is really interesting because I don't know. Like, as it did at first, and then they're like shaping what it was. I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool if it was in VR, but they've not confirmed that yet. So much up in the air. I have no idea.
I mean, to have a fresh statement saying it's still coming and it's still in development and all that, just kind of revitalize it. Yes, everyone's always like, Dreams is dead, it's fucking done. But it's a brand new statement saying, no, it's still there. Trust me.
Calm there, Draymond.
Number two, Sony has revealed that 67.5 million PS4 consoles have been shipped as of September 30 this year. 67.5 million.
Whoa!
Financial results for the second quarter of the fiscal year 2017 revealed that Sony Interactive Entertainment sent 4.2 million units to retailers this quarter, bringing up the lifetime total to 67.5. These numbers resulted in the company raising its predictions to meet 79 million units shipped by March 2018. Fucking Jesus.
Whoa.
I mean, so many people. Not too much to talk about that. It's just cool news.
It's just so many PlayStations.
Yeah, so many
people. Which means more people that would like this show.
Yeah, put it out there, please.
Tell your friends.
Quick one. For Honor will have a free weekend during November 9th and November 12th. If you never ended up playing it, then
no, we didn't.
You can't for it.
Oh.
I said if you never ended up playing
it. Yeah, it's
free.
I've
still got it at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you too. I was wondering about this.
Yeah, I've got it. Now for some sad news. Sad-ish news. Number four. Finnish studio Housemarque, maker of modern classic shoot-em-ups like Resogun and Nex Machina, is moving away from developing arcade games due to poor sales. Housemarque CEO and co-founder Jari Kuitinen spoke about the decision to move away from the genre they love, regardless of their game's quality, in a letter to the fans. Quote, "Despite critical success and numerous awards, our games just haven't sold in significant numbers," Kuitinen said. While some of them have reached a massive audience due to free game offerings across various digital sales channels, this unfortunately doesn't help pay for development, which gets costly due to high production quality. So the studio is abandoning its arcade shooter roots to move on to new genres. While this genre will always hold a special place in our hearts, the industry is moving more towards multiplayer experiences with strong, robust communities, and it's time for Housemarque to move forward with the industry, he said, noting Nex Machina and Matterfall will be the last of their kind from the studio. Looking ahead to our next products, we are exploring something totally different than what you might expect of us. We believe this will lead to the creation of even more engaging gaming experiences. Our core values remain the same: gameplay first with first-class execution. We are really excited about our new projects and look forward to unveiling our first game from the new era of Housemarque. Kind of sad. I've said before, Housemarque, I don't know, the games just do it for me. I would have loved to play Manifold, right? But worst case, like, this is better than them closing their doors, obviously. Yeah. Because, I think other than Nex Machina, nearly everything else they've done has been exclusive to PlayStation.
Correct.
So, Nex Machina broadened over to, Microsoft as well, their Xbox. And it's a very honest letter. Look, the games are good. They've done well. They're just not selling. And it's kind of their prediction going, if we keep on this track, we will end up shutting our doors, so we need to change.
See, so to their credit, like, most studios would just change what they're doing and not tell anyone. But I guess because Housemarque have enough respect for their audience, for them to go, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the biggest studio out there, but the fans, like, their name carries weight to a lot of people.
I think what's really interesting though, and I probably, so the arcade, when they say arcade is dead, that's a very catchy headline.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case. I think the type of arcade that they make is a little bit dead.
Because what twin stick?
No, twin stick shooter's not dead. Is because what the thing is with them is, as they mentioned, they make very polished games. Very polished. And as a result, they do have a slightly higher entrance than, say, some shitty poopy arcade games.
Yeah. And they only charge $15 to $30 for their games as well.
Yeah, because they're like, you know, but then there's a game that could do the same thing for like $5.
Yeah, but not to that level.
No, yes, the point I'm making. So like, maybe that was sort of a hesitance for people looking at it, going, "Oh man, that game looks really good, but this one's $5." Yeah. Where to me, the name Housemarque makes me go, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah, yeah, I dig it. I'm in. But I'm, you know, I appreciate the honesty, and I'm excited to see what more they can do.
Yeah, obviously, it is a shame because they do mention heading in the lines of going to the sort of, you know, a multiplayer games as a service sort of route, which is poops. But I do think they could do something cool.
They can do something cool, and I don't believe they'll fall into the trappings of many modern games for service.
And being a smaller studio, which means they, because they're not EA, because they're not Activision, they could have fun with that game as a service.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess, you know, worst case scenario, you know, they'd be a great studio for Sony to just put the money in and go, "Yep, we own you now."
Well, it surprised me. It really surprised me that Sony hasn't bought Housemarque already.
They may as well have to this point. And you know, maybe they've tried and Housemarque said, "No, we enjoy being." You know, and that's totally cool too.
They're like, "Look, we're happy to make games for you, but we're not going to be part of your
world." But you know, worst case scenario, that could be something that could happen. But even if not, I'm keen to see what happens and what they come up with. Stop it. PS Plus games for November 2017 have been announced. Starting tomorrow, you'll be able to get Worms Battlegrounds for PS4, Bound for PS4.
And PSVR.
Oh, it doesn't say that.
It's also a VR game.
Okay. R-Type Dimension for PS3, Ragdoll Kung Fu Fists of Plastic for PS3, Dungeon Punks for PS Vita and PS4, Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Curse Episodes 1 and 2 for PS Vita, and Until Dawn Rush of Blood for PS4. Bonus
Vita.
Game.
I'm not Vita, VR, sorry.
VR. Bonus game available from November 7th all the way through to January 2nd.
Cool. Yeah, so Bound is a PS4 game, but it is playable in VR. Okay. Unlike Rush of Blood, which is entirely a VR game.
Yep.
That's a bit of both. It's cool.
Worms Battlegrounds I bought like a month ago, so it's a bit shitty. But, you know, such is life. It's fun, though.
Yeah.
It might make a good stream at some point.
Yeah, I haven't played Worms since, like...
Worms Armageddon was the last one I played.
Me too. Yeah.
And if you sat on the menu for a little while, there'd be like these funny little animated cutscenes if you leave it long enough. Sister and I used to just sit there for like an hour, like cycling through all the cool, you know, little...
Yeah, you used to have a lot of fun with Worms.
But it does seem to be the end. Like, we had a very good streak the last few months of, you know, we had
Metal Gear Solid
and Amnesia last month. Until Dawn. So, you know, you can't keep getting AAA games forever. You know, you've got to have a cooldown period and stuff. So that's cool. Top selling games for the week ending 29th of October 2017. Starting from number 10, WWE 2K18. Number 9, Crash the Insane Trilogy. Number 8, GTA 5. Number 7, NBA 2K18. Number 6, Shadow of War. Number 5, The Fractured Butthole. Still hanging up there. Well done. Number 4, FIFA 18. Number 3, Wolfenstein 2. Number 2, GT Sport. And number 1, Assassin's Creed Origins.
Interesting list.
Interesting. I thought... Yeah, Wolfenstein I would have imagined being number 2.
Who's number 2?
GT Sport.
Yeah, people be loving that GT apparently. Because the point still stands. Like, people will buy a console for GT. Because I assume that takes into console purchases, right?
I'd imagine so, yeah.
You know?
Because they did release a GT console
bundle. Yeah, cool bundle. But it also looks kind of boring. But cool at the same time.
But yeah, the hiatus for Assassin's Creed must have done something because they're straight up in the middle.
Yeah, I think there is certainly a lot of interest in Assassin's Creed and where it's heading. Chat about that soon. But yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Second to last bit of news. As we head into the Paris Games Week, we're going to talk about what we liked from there. But one thing that stood out for me, despite all the other big announcements, fresh from hunting the robotic adversaries of Earth's future, Horizon Zero Dawn's protagonist Aloy is adding monsters of a different kind to her resume with an upcoming PlayStation-exclusive crossover with Monster Hunter World. The crossover, which was announced during Sony's Paris Games Week conference, brings Aloy's bow and full armor set to Monster Hunter World. It will also include Pelico armor that makes the player's Pelico look like one of the machines from Horizon Zero Dawn.
Well, a little Walkers? The raptor-looking ones. What are they called?
Watchers. Yeah. Equipping the full set of armor will make your character look just like Aloy, facial likeness and all. Capcom also shared details about Monster Hunter World's upcoming beta, which will kick off on December 9th, exclusively for PS Plus users.
Yeah.
The beta will run for 3 days and feature 3 quests, of which players can join up with other players online or take on missions solo.
Yep.
Fuck yes! This game's just getting better and better, man. If I can fucking say these big Dilophosaurus T-Rexes as Aloy, that's fucking sick.
So you've attacked robo-dinosaurs and the real dinos.
And their real counterparts as well.
Very exciting.
That's so cool. That wasn't the only news coming out of Paris Games Week. We got a whole bunch of other stuff that's happened.
But yeah, so with Monster Hunter, what makes me... Because we played it at conferences, right? At conventions. And like, it doesn't really seem like a game that's well for a convention.
It doesn't demo well because... There is so much going on and so much to learn and all these resources and menus. It's a lot to take in a 10-minute playthrough.
Yeah, so for me, I'm very keen to be able to sit on my couch,
have a proper sit-down. So we've picked out the highlights from Paris Games Week we just want to talk about, whether they be briefly or lengthily, before we head into the main topic for the show. I'll just go down the list. Stop me when you want to talk about something.
Okay.
Sony reveals Guacamelee 2.
Yeah, it looks like more Guacamelee.
Yeah, first game was rad. Yeah,
Drinkbox, so I played a lot of it on the Vita.
Me too. It was free, I think,
I think I bought it for like $6 once. Yeah. I wouldn't mind putting it on the big screen.
Cool. Side-scrolling 2D platformer that involves fucking suplexing people.
It looked...
As a luchador.
Yeah, the trailer looked really funny. Yeah. It's all this like action shots, this guy trying to eat a corn chip, and he's like...
Yeah.
And then he has to go put on the mask.
Does have a good sense of humor as well.
There's a lot of chickens and they're singing in like a little orchestra. Very cool.
Yeah. The Hong Kong Massacre is reminiscent of...
Hong Kong Massacre looks to be Hotline Miami meets The Matrix / Max Payne with a little slowdown. It's simple as answer. It's Hotline Miami, but with good quality 3D graphics.
Like still, top down,
yeah. But like rather than it's
a bit more depth to it,
a bit more depth, jumping things, and it looks fucking rad.
The Sims 4 on PS4 gets a vampire filled expansion pack.
That game comes out this month, like really soon. Yeah. I think it'll be a fun stream if we can pick it up. Knowing that there's more expansions coming for it is incredibly important because one of the big things about Sims is just expansion packs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you go to like still you go to EB Games and you still see Sims expansion packs,
yeah,
like
all full price.
Loco Roco 2 Remastered gets a December release date.
So Loco Roco is a PSP game that got sort of remastered along with Prepper the Rapper and Patapon in June and July of this year.
People must have loved
obviously it. Obviously, it did well enough to remaster the sequel, which is great.
I don't get it, but cool.
Yeah, because I didn't have a PSP at the time, so I didn't play it.
Yeah.
It's really cool that because that means a lot for what they can do. Like if that's the if they can get enough to spend the resources to remaster it, it says that means they may start dipping back into PS1 games.
Yeah, man. Moss gets a release date for this February.
Do you know Moss?
Moss was the little mouse. Yeah, Mises.
Looks awesome.
Looks very pretty.
Yeah,
and scary at the same time.
Yeah, I'm down.
Pretty much any game in VR is scary at some point.
So the big difference is like it's not like first person. So you're overseeing what this mouse is doing. So you don't have to move around and peek and stuff. Like it looks like cool.
Sit down and chill VR.
Yeah, so it's not innovative in the way of doing that, but it looks really cool and Moss has a charm to it.
Hmm. Resident Evil 7's Not a Hero got a trailer.
Yes, this one I've has been heavily delayed.
I haven't watched this trailer yet, but I've heard a few people say that it's not really, doesn't seem to be fitting the vibe of whatever it's there.
Well, see, because, I'm yet to finish Resident Evil 7 because you and your father wanted to play it. Yeah. I got about 70% of the way through it. I just didn't get into that last controversial area, which the internet spoiled for me anyway. Oh, actually, the letter we received from QVS spoiled it for us. there's been a bit of delay on it. Supposed to come out earlier in the year.
Cool. I think it's the last.
It's the last DLC because the Gold Edition comes out real soon.
Cool. Sound for PSVR. was announced.
Incorrect. You're reading the wrong part.
Stifled. Sound,
yes. You know how I mentioned how Moss doesn't really have sort of an innovative thing. It's just it does, but in the like as in look the way you deal in VR isn't very innovative.
Where Stifled
is rad. Stifled, yeah. Probably the easiest way to look at it, it's fucking Daredevil the game. You're blind. Well, you're not blind, but it's in the dark, and you're using echo sound location. Like a fucking bat.
Yeah.
So you're like,
you could say that you're Batman.
Yeah, you could. So with the headset, the VR headset does have a built-in microphone in it. So you use that to go, you know, click and hoot and holler and, and then, like, that'll make the
that's
you know,
sick.
That'll make the room like bright, and then you.
But it seems to me there's also shit that will find you. And
yeah, it looks like there are things that will hear you. So if you make and like so you can see the whole room. It's like and they're like oh fuck.
Yeah.
It looks very interesting and also very horrifying. It
very, is graphically basic, but that works to its advantage, I think.
Yeah, and like that, with the sound, the sonar, it makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's cool. Dead Hungry is coming to PSVR this week.
This looks really cool.
Last week.
I haven't... I can watch a little bit of the trailer and I didn't get enough out of it to know exactly what it is, but you're in a workstation very similar to like Job Simulator and you have to make burgers and like all I've seen is you making burgers and there's fucking zombies and shit coming at you. I don't know whether you're making burgers and stuff for the zombies or you need to make X amounts of the zombies then you feed the zombies and they go away. I haven't quite worked that out yet.
That sounds fun.
But like it looks like a stupid stream.
Yeah, that could be fun. Spelunky 2 has been announced for PS4.
Yeah, Spelunky 2 is very interesting. Like, I've played a little bit of it and it is a game that is literally endless. So... I'm really curious on where they're going to go with it and what they're going to change.
I'm really iffy on endless games. Like there are some where I'm just all in and I'll just play till I'm done. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Start, like, with Spelunky is literally it's unfinishable. You play forever and ever and ever. They would need to have something really good to worthy a sequel.
I'm sure it will be because Spelunky is pretty well acclaimed.
Yes, very. Yeah. People, I think I've heard people refer to it as the perfect game.
Now we're getting into the meat and bones of it. Sucker Punch announced their new game called Ghost of Tsushima. So the trailer was really interesting, but also showed nothing.
Mm.
As in, you're a samurai set in a time period in a part of, I guess, Japan. And like it looked graphically, like the trailer itself looked amazing. Had some cool voiceover from, I'm guessing, the villain who's like taking over areas. But you didn't really get much more from the trailer either. Like, I don't know
who you're playing.
Don't know what style of game it is. Is it open world? Is it, you know, first person? Is it third person? You know, whole lot of questions unanswered, but I'm sure there'll be more. Now that they've announced it, and now I'm sure the drip feed of
extra. Because that's what it is. Like, it is an announced trailer, right? It's to let you know that it exists and what it could potentially look like. Sucker Punch do really cool shit.
Yeah, they do.
Of infamous fame. So I'm curious as to whether this is some sort of Infamous as an open world game, like Infamous game, an open world game. Because one of the things they do reasonably well, and this is why it was so rumored for so long, for people that didn't know, that they were working on the Spider-Man game, because they know how to do movement like really well. Like, that's the joy of Infamous and like timing all your powers and stuff together.
I had such a fun time with Second Son.
Yeah,
like gliding around with the fire and then changing to like Earth and doing like Second Son, such a good fucking game. I know, I just had like, that idea. I love.
And like there were moments with the CG in that game where it looked horribly real for a moment.
Yeah, and this was a launch title for the PS4, and you know it seems to be mirrored in this trailer. Like it looks great. I'm keen to know more because I'm all keen for Japan. I'm keen for samurais.
I'm just going to mention as well, like all the big first party games now at this conference have such a polish to them and such a sheen, like in a good way.
Yeah,
like it's so good.
Yeah. Next one, East End Gangster, Blood and Truth for VR.
Oh yeah, we were supposed to watch that trailer, but didn't.
Oh, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, you told me to leave it in there.
Yeah, because we want to watch the trailer, but we didn't.
Okay. Erica for Playlink.
Yeah, so like PlayStation looks to be going more into this Playlink area, which is really cool. Because what we've seen so far has been great.
Like we had a go at Hidden Agenda at PAX?
Yeah.
PAX. That was cool. And it like what I think a comment you made about it was because there's no quote unquote gameplay, they can go super fucking hard on how it looks.
And it's visually stunning.
And there was a moment in Erica, the trailer that was released. It's like, is that a real person or not? And I think we determined it is, like, it's actual people, but then it's like...
But it's really weird. Like, the people look super real, but then there's some, like, moments where they show a book or they show a letter and it looks a bit more gamey. So, like, I don't have an answer for that, and it's kind of annoying.
Seems to be it's like a mystery game, I guess, but it looks great.
Looks really cool.
Playlink is cool. I'm liking where it's going.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really liking
what I thought was originally kind of like, oh, it's kind of silly using your phones, and then but they've gone, oh, no, we're backing up with some big guys, and it looks really good.
We got the first footage for Destiny 2's first DLC, Curse of Osiris, due December 5th.
I actively uninstalled Destiny 2 this week.
Did you really? You ran out of space?
Yep. Because I wanted to play other games.
And
it's like 60 gig of a game I'm not going to rush back to.
I had such a great time with Destiny 2 for the first couple of weeks after launch. But one of my criticisms was I'm still fighting the same shit. It's still the Taken, it's still the Vex, still the Cabal, still the Fallen. And I was like, I can't wait for them to bring in a new enemy. And I'm like, cool, new DLC. It's the Vex again.
Mm.
That's not exciting. That's not fun. I don't know. You do go to Mercury, which was... It's set on Mercury, which... Story spoiler, I'm sure you don't care at this point.
No.
Half the planet was destroyed because of Gaul's...
what?
What's it called? The big weapon he was using to try to like blow up Earth. Because it like sat in orbit. And it channeled the power of the sun through Mercury into it to shoot like a Death Star.
Okay.
Or something like, I don't know, it was a bit fucking weird. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure, I don't even know if I'll go back to it at this point. I don't know. I had such a great time with it, but I can, now that I've seen how they're going to be doing their content going forward, I'm not in. I'm not down with that.
I
would have rather a reason to just play, you know, a couple times a week and not play for a week and then be like, all right, I'm off for the next 2 months until something new comes out. That's not
fun.
Because by the time that content comes out, I'm fucking done. I've moved on to other things. And I'm out.
So. Especially with what we do. Like, there's so many new games coming around.
Yeah, exactly.
You burn out pretty quickly.
But hey, I don't know. And so, Spider-Man got some new footage.
Yeah, it looks dark.
Haven't watched it.
Oh, man.
Now, for the last five things we're going to talk about are big deals.
Yeah.
Three of them, I'm on lockout.
Yeah.
As in, I've seen enough, I know I'm in, I know what it's about, I don't need to see
it. Well, I can tell you, I'm
happy to hear about it. I don't want to see it, I don't want to watch it. But I'm happy to hear about what
Spider-Man looks, this focuses more on Peter Parker rather than Spider-Man, and sort of how he deals with the character who is Mr. Negative in terms of his day-to-day. We get to see a bit more Miles Morales, which is cool. You see Aunt May, you see Mary Jane.
I've seen online that Mary Jane is a playable character.
Like, there's a particular moment where they pan the shot in a way that you would if you were playing a character. So it looks as if you could play Mario J.
Sweet, that's cool.
Really, like, this game looks rad.
Yeah.
Like, the people were really concerned about all the QuickTime events and stuff that we saw in the other trailers, but fuck, it looks great.
QuickTime events can work.
Oh, man.
When they're done right, QuickTime events are rad. And the good thing about Sony's first party is they don't seem to fall into the trappings of open world games. You know, Ubisoft have a very formulaic approach to open world games. And a lot of others follow suit, whereas Sony, when they do an open world game like Infamous, it doesn't follow those guidelines. It does its own thing. So even with QuickTime events, I know that Insomniac won't do them in the way that like The Order was done, where the whole game was fucking QuickTime events.
Yeah,
I'm confident in the game, but I don't need to see any more on it. Another game I didn't want to see any more on it, but I heard this trailer's fucked up, is Detroit Become Human. Apparently, this trailer was like really brutal, and had a lot of people like questioning the violence shown.
In terms of the questioning violence, I disagree. I think if anything, it gave me more of an emotional pull towards the game. So, you're Clara or Kara, which is a robot that's been reprogrammed after an incident. By the looks of it,
mm-hmm.
She comes back to the house, which is this piece of shit dude with a daughter, and like, which is weird that all these trailers and all these Detroit trailers have involved children.
That's
so
how they get you.
Yeah, so it's essentially on the lines that it's you're starting to find out that this dude is kind of a broken mess, a violent man. You know, the mum walked out and left him for an accountant. He even yells at one point. And there's a moment where like he proceeds to beat the kid. And then like it shows you the different trees of, do you help them? Do you happen? I'm like, all right, so if you do make the decision to help, then this is the branch you take, and this branch. And it, like, it shows you all this option. And there's a moment where he lays the girl on the bed, and she's very still, and her eyes are open. And, you know, it's like, you know, daddy loves you. And I'm like, oh, fuck this guy. Mm. Like, everyone's like, did he kill the daughter? I'm like, I think she's just traumatized. I don't think that's a dead baby, a dead girl. But for me, it was like, you put such an emotional tone in this game that it sold me. Like, no matter what the circumstances, I'm killing that fucking guy. Yeah,
and people can be like, it's too violent, but it really is mirroring real life. Like, this shit does fuck. Yeah. As much as you don't want to think about it, this shit does fucking happen, and it happens more than you think it does. Mm. So, you know, doing it in this way where there's no holes barred, like, it just showing you this can be a thing.
Yeah. And people always clamor for more adult games.
Yeah.
Surprise, violence is an adult thing. Yeah, so it's kind of
pretty
like
much all adult
if you want to tackle real serious, real adult, like real fucking mature storylines, there are things that you're going to have to touch on. And there are things that are going to make you uncomfortable. No, this is not you. These are things that are going to make you uncomfortable.
Does it seem like so far, because I didn't watch this one, does every mission have a theme to it? Because what we played with Connor seemed to be the theme of like rejection or replacement. Mm. Because the robot, the android, he found out that the family was, you know, replacing him, and that's when he kind of lost his mind. I think it would be cool if every mission have like a very set theme, like emotional theme to it.
It feels like each of these characters are sort of almost like vignettes. Yeah. As in, like, you'll play with one character for a while and you'll just see a bit more about their world. And then, so rather than playing as one character through the main story, you're actually, you know, you're seeing this new world where you
through
have
many different eyes.
Robo companions in different ways, and then you'll come together, I think, as the Grey's Anatomy guy because he's the leader of the boat. So this,
I'm worried about that part of the game at the moment.
I'm really concerned about, but this part looks real good. So for this, it's more of her. She had acted out. She had been reprogrammed. She's come back, and the daughter is actively helping to get her back.
Yeah. Okay.
So this, rather than being about rejection, this is more about, by them becoming sentient, by them acknowledging, by them, you know, their world, their learning, this is showing them the emotion. This is showing them that they're not as simple as do tasks.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool if every mission had a different set of emotions and reasonings behind it.
Yeah, because like really, if you have a house robot, if you beat your kid, like, house robot shouldn't do anything. You know what I mean? Like,
It's not programmed to
care. Yeah. And that's what makes this so poignant is the fact that you get to be that character. You get to stand up for this in this household. You get to presumably beat the fuck out of that dude. I'm going to strangle him until he can't breathe, and then I'll proceed to stab him in the face. Like, just genuine piece of shit, and I got no time for this character.
Speaking of stabbing in the face, it was a new God of War trailer too.
Didn't watch it. Like, so this trailer,
I think that, okay, it's going to get to the point where they can go confidently, it's out next month.
Yeah.
Boom!
So the trailer showed more of the relationship in terms of how you play with the son. It was more of a gameplay trailer. So it showed more how... I can never remember his name. I just call him Artemis.
Atreus.
I just call him Artemis because it's easy. So there's
like an old dude's name.
Yeah.
an old wizard.
Yeah.
In a tower.
So it sort of shows you how Artemis will be sort of like around you and as you're fighting, because it shows, you know, obviously more combat. And he's like, behind you. And then you turn around, there's a dude there. And it's like, to your left. And there are some times where the character does a lot of cliche psychic characters like, you're out of here. And which that shit aggravates him. Like, that's not really needed. That's really annoying.
No, but I imagine it's there for a reason, because he's a child. Yeah, this is kind of the shit he's heard, and you know.
But there's also a really cool thing as well. Like, there's a creature that they see, and you know, they're proceeding forward, and he's like, "Dad, Papa, no, we can't. Like, that's the soul eater or whatever. Like, we can't go there. Like, he'll fuck us up." And the creature looks at them and just kind of goes and just walks away.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, he's fine." Like, oh, Mum told me that they were much scarier. And so the idea of, like, he knows about this world, but he's never been out.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's kind of cool to sort of see that bond. But yeah, that if he's yelling out, yeah, gotcha! Pew, pew! Like, oh, no, like, this is...
Maybe Kratos will dress you to go, shut the... Boy! Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Chris Judge
sounds so good as Kratos. It's really good.
I've seen enough of God of War. I don't want to watch any more trailers.
Yeah, so it's still early 2018.
Same with Detroit. Yeah. You know, seen the two trailers. We played it. I'm in. I'm cool. I don't need to see any more. Yep. There's no reason for me to spoil any more of the game for myself. And second last, another trailer for Shadow of the Colossus. Apparently it looks really good.
Yeah, it looks great. They didn't announce a trailer at the conference, but then a blog post, someone acting was like, oh yeah, it's February 4th.
Oh, okay.
And they've gone, what? And they got redacted. And then everyone's like, did that get redacted? They're like, no. Yeah, it's February 4th. Yeah.
Damn it. Fuck the internet and screenshots. Yeah.
So like that's kind of, it looks great. If you love Shadow of the Colossus.
I mean, I thought, I was hoping that The Last Guardian would kind of pull me into those games. It did the opposite. It just pushed me away. Yeah, Last Guardian was poops. It's not
mad.
They're just not for me. And last but certainly not least, the one of the only trailers I did watch, because we haven't seen much on it so far, The Last of Us Part 2.
Because I've been talking this whole time. You take it.
Very violent trailer. Mm. And a lot of people complaining about it again. I think it was fucking rad, because The Last of Us is not a forgiving world. It was never painted as a world where, like, bad shit doesn't happen. We saw one girl's arm get broken with a fucking hammer. We saw another very large lady. And I mean, not girth, but just tank lady. Yeah. I'm guessing maybe Ellie's mum, because there is a very, very distinct facial likeness and voice pattern between them. Getting hanged. And an arrow through the face.
Who did the voice of Ellie? Was it Laura Bailey?
No.
We have access to the internet. You totally find out. Because I know that Laura Bailey is playing that character, so that would be an easy given, right?
Well, I'm glad that... I'm glad we didn't. This trailer didn't focus on Joel and Ellie, because it's Ashley Johnson.
Ah, okay, cool.
Because a lot of the feedback from the trailer is, where's Joel and Ellie? That's all I care about. But now that... there's more to this world than just Joel and Ellie, and I think that's what Naughty Dog go for. They're obviously in the game because they're in the first trailer in some capacity, but it seems to be more leaning towards some form of like a religious thing.
Yeah, so there's some really, really quite confronting visuals in this. Like you see, you know, people drag this person in, and then as she looks up, there's people that are hung and disemboweled.
I saw that in The Witcher like years ago.
Yeah, no, it's, but, you know, once again, that polish of these games is really like, makes it really jarring.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, they string her up, and you know, a bunch of cool shit happens. What's very interesting is there's very particular, like the way this is shot, or that they've decided to set up these scenes, clearly shows you something in terms of the breaking of the elbows, right, with the arm with the hammer. This is another podcast used the example of Reservoir Dogs. You've seen Reservoir Dogs? No, okay, so there's a scene where a character gets his ear cut off as part of an interrogation. Mm. But the way Tarantino, who directed and wrote that, he decides to pull away as it happens, so you don't actually see it, but your brain fills in the gaps.
Yeah.
Where this, they've intentionally chosen to hang on that scene and see it, because they wanted to see, like, in other words, they wanted you to see the visceral violence in this. They wanted you to see that this is the world that we're in, and these people that are doing this, they're not doing it. This is a means to an end. Like, there is more than just getting information. They're like, they, you know, as in, like, it's fucked. It's a fucked up world.
Yeah. So, yeah, from what I got from the trailer, there is definitely a religious undertone as well, whether it's cultish or whatever. Mm. But, yeah, I'm pretty... I don't... Like, the game's obviously years away. Maybe I'll give it one more trailer. But, you know, I'm in automatically from the start. Yeah. So... But obviously, being such a story-driven game, I want to know as much but as little as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, from what I know now, Joel and Ellie are in it in some way. There's new characters in it in some way. There's some kind of religious cult in some way. Cool.
I literally finished it. I watched it with my wife and my son. Probably shouldn't have.
He's too young.
Yeah, we watched it, and I literally was like... I literally clapped.
Well, at the end when the clickers come bursting out.
Yeah,
of the forest,
I literally clapped on my couch. I'm like...
And you haven't even finished the
first
game.
No, which made me go, I want to finish The Last of Us.
Please finish it before number two comes out.
I will. So I've got some time.
On camera, pinky
promise.
I've
got some time at the end of the year, and I want to finish it off, because there's not much coming out at the end of the year.
I'm happy to, like, we could do a fucking stream of it if you wanted to.
And that
to.
Gives me, that makes me do it, yeah.
Even if you play it on easy, just because.
Well, because that's the thing, because back in the day, I would play things on medium, like, or hard to prove a point.
Too hard, yeah. Nothing to prove.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it on easy because the game to me was about the story. There were still challenging parts, but the story is the driving force in that game, not how difficult it is to get from point A to point B. Because the clickers hear you, you're still instantly dead, even on easy.
It is.
And I think all it is in the difficulty, if I remember rightly, is the amount of resources available to you. How many bullets you have, how many bandages you can make. So you play on easy, you got some more resources to play with. You don't have to be as liberal with them.
Are we going
to
stream on Monday?
Monday?
Yeah, birthday stream.
Oh, well, during the day?
Yeah.
No. Probably holiday for kids.
Monday?
For my daughter. She's got Monday and Tuesday off for Melbourne Cup.
Well, bitch.
I don't know. High school's fucking rad these days.
Yeah, they're like, you have
my son's still got to go to school. But he got Geelong Cup off last week. So he got one day off for Geelong Cup, and now she gets 2 days off for Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
So unfortunately.
Oh, well, that's poops. It'd be fun. We could play last for us.
Yeah.
We will get to it. Yeah, okay. So that pretty much wraps up.
Wraps up.
So what do you think? Overall, from what you've heard, what you've seen?
It was good. I mean, it was almost like another E3 presentation in a way, because like E3, we got more status updates on games we knew. We got some announcements of stuff we didn't know about, like Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah, it was rad.
There are some things that are still missing. Where's Days Gone is the big one.
I could say it's gone. Days Gone and Dreams for PSX, I reckon.
Yeah, I think they're two.
Because they wouldn't have wanted the last of two and Days Gone in the same presentation.
Yeah, I want to talk about what we thought of this as well as what this means for PSX. So I think Days Gone will be PSX. It'll be one of their staples. But as you said, they wouldn't put on the same thing as Last of Us.
Because people think
they look very similar. I don't, because Last
of Us... They don't at all, but they are story-centric zombie games. And you notice at E3 they didn't have The Last of Us there and Days Gone there as well. Last of Us trailer came out a year ago. Came out at last Paris Games Week or last PSX.
Yeah, they announced it last, yeah.
So they've never, to this point, had both of them in the same conference fashion at all.
I really think... I'm starting to think that maybe they've taken on all this feedback because it's come around, and then maybe they've gone and workshopped it a little bit.
Maybe.
Because, like, we've not heard a thing.
Yeah.
Which we think we probably should, right?
I mean...
Right?
We literally... Well, we heard a lot, literally like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, people are asking way too much. We got a brand new trailer for it, a huge trailer for it, literally... 12 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah, but at the same point, Ben has been working on this game for like 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is a... Then again, in the worlds of like Kojimas and shit, like, I can take as long as I damn well want. But
yeah.
It's one of those things, like, you've got to come out with a hit, Ben.
And I'm sure they will. But I think they're either holding it because of feedback, or they're holding it because they just don't want to show too much before it comes out. It'll sell. And I'd imagine it'll sell pretty well just based off who's making it.
Yeah.
And then it'll be the whole word of mouth.
See, the big thing is, like, Bend isn't a Naughty Dog. They're not a Sucker Punch. Like, they don't have that big name behind them. Like, for us, people that love the PlayStations, for us, when we hear Bend, we're like, sick.
Yeah.
You know, and when it finally happened, it was all well and good. But to the average consumer, Bend means nothing. So
this could be it.
And I think that's why they need to workshop it and make it good. But I still don't think it's going to do gangbusters. I think they need to...
I reckon we'll get a date for God of War at PSX.
I think PSX is dates. Yeah. I think...
Days Gone, Dreams, and Dates.
Yeah.
3 Ds.
Yeah. Give us all the D. So I think what they're going to need to do with... Because they mentioned every game that had a 2018 date... A 2018 window were releasing in the first 6 months of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think PSX will just be like, hey... Date.
Yeah.
Here's Dreams. Here's Days Gone. Date. Why else? Because I think I sent a meme to you and Joel, which was sort of like E3 2016. And it's like, fuck yeah, Detroit, God of War, and Horizon, I think it was. And then the year after, it's the same. And then year after, it's in Paris Games Week, it's the same. Like, I think we're at a point now where any more, we'd be hitting Last Guardian had like 13 years development, but I mean, like, how many times can we see this? Like Final Fantasy VII, like Kingdom Hearts 3. How many times can we see this?
I wouldn't even put them in the same category, though, yeah?
No, but I mean...
I get what you're saying, but again, it's only been a year and a bit since we found out about some of these games.
Yeah, but one of the biggest problems that biggest mistakes you can make is this... Because right now, hype culture is huge.
I get it, but I think Sony are in the position where that doesn't quite affect them the way it affects EA and Activision.
No, I disagree. I think,
I don't think it does at all.
With No Man's Sky, a PlayStation game-ish, console exclusive.
But that wasn't a big first-party title.
No, but...
Spider-Man, Days Gone, God of War, Detroit, they're all... The hype is not going to go away until they're in people's hands, regardless of how many times.
And I do certainly think they've not announced the dates for a reason. It's for them to... ensure that they hit date.
Mm. End of Town, yeah.
But like, I don't think any of these games, like, all these games would do well, but I think they would be certainly just disadvantaging them by doing it comes out next month.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, they'll come out, people will buy them, and people will fucking love them.
But that's it. What did you think of not PSX? What did you think of Paris Games Week and the announcements? Because, our good friend Buddy Watson did want us to discuss the violence in The Last of Us trailer and what we think. Yep. Yeah, it's fucking fine.
It's fine.
Put it simply, like...
The Sony exec, I forget his name, who came out and made a statement about it. He said, people want adult games. I'm not putting it in stone, but I'm going to wager this is going to be rated R. And
the other one was,
this is what it is.
Yeah,
take it or leave it.
And like, as I said around the whatever the other trailer that I ranted about, like as I said, oh, Detroit. You know, like if you want adult games, this is what you get. You can't be like, I want adult games, sort of like.
And I don't think like, and Naughty Dog especially don't put that level of violence in their games just because they can. There's always a reason.
This isn't Manhunt.
There's always a message. There's always a, you know, there's always, like I said, there's
context.
There's always context, you know. And if they have something that violent in the game, they're going to build on that and they're going to explain it. And it's going to be.
Speaking of context, I think that's the biggest problem with the trailer, because there is no context. Like you're being shown a literal vertical slice. Like here's a part that you're going to see, and that's like, you know,
yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. It's all fine. It's fine. As long as I get the appropriate age rating, do whatever the fuck
you want. It'll get an R. It'll get an R.
And I'm going to enjoy this shit of it. Yeah, me too.
Rubbing faces all those 18-year-olds like 17-year-olds can't play it.
They'll play it.
Yeah,
they'll play it.
I'll play it really hard.
All right, that's it for the news this week.
Yeah.
We move into the main topic segment.
Talk about PSX with dates, and they're coming out soon. This is what's coming out this week in a section we called Coming.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I made a segment.
We're going
really
to the
bad.
Main feature.
Oh, we are too. So
fucking Jesus.
Man.
Hey, we're not even nearly done. Get your shit together. The main topic of the show this week, we will be giving...
We just dived way too hard in Paris Games. I thought that was the main topic.
Could have been if we didn't keep running with it.
Yeah, true.
We have to give our impressions on these games. Wolfenstein 2 and Assassin's Creed Origins. We're going to be having a chat about them. Now, we streamed Wolfenstein 2 last Wednesday. So I've had that 2 hours with it, the two first hours. You've played it a bit more. Let's go into that one first.
Yes, first of all, we should say big thank you to Bethesda Australia for sending Wolfenstein 2 through to us. Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, is set in the 60s. So it's pretty much takes off just at the end of The New Order, where BJ Blazkowicz is like beat to the shit house. Mm. And then you're in a coma for like 5 months and you wake up, you're all fucking busted. And then you wheel around in a submarine in a chair, shooting dudes, get a mech suit. And then the whole idea is to then make your way to America to be the resistance, because in this alternate universe, the Nazis won. And you need to shut them the fuck down.
So, I can't comment much on the story because I didn't play the first one. I'm not sure how it all kind of ties into itself. But from what I saw, the game is fucking brutal. Talking about violence in video games, this game is pretty fucking violent from some of the...
But it's Nazis.
But it's Nazis. So, you just get to fuck them up right back.
Yeah.
The gunplay is so tight and... satisfying. Like it feels heavy, it feels meaty, but it controls so well. And I just wasn't expecting it to feel that good, if you know what I mean. And then in the mech suit, the extra levels of movement and stuff, like the speed you get, it's so hard to adjust to, but you feel like a fucking tank. So you run out there and then you fucking die because you're not actually a tank. I mean, it's kind of deceiving. I think Tom said in one of our group chats, from Load Screen, said it makes you feel like a super soldier, but you're not, and you're constantly reminded that you're not a super soldier because... even on the second lowest difficulty, you will get fucked up if you overextend.
Yeah. I was thinking with more. I completely agree. What I love about it is, it's the same heavy gameplay that we had when it comes to the New Order, as in the guns are huge. The guns are way bigger than they should be. And they have that weight to them. And they have just that perfect pop, you know, and it feels really good to shoot things in this game. Mm. It makes it even better knowing they're Nazis. And on top of that, because you have that super suit, they've now brought in that movement speed of Doom.
Yeah.
So, as you said, it gives you that false sense of security where it's like...
always charging forward.
In Doom, I'm forever charging forward. I'm not stopping. I'm like, boom, punch, great, grab health, keep going. But with this, it's like, boom, punch, you're dead because they don't drop health when you knife them, like in Doom.
I did, I forgot for the first... you know, 15 minutes I was playing, that it's not the Call of Duty like recovery health system where you just get some cover for 10 seconds and you're fine. You got a health bar, you got to recover it. It's rad. I mean, I can't say too much more about the story because I haven't been any further through it, but to the point we got to, even out of context, it explained well enough what was going on and I could kind of piece it together and go, oh, okay. With the help from you, who's this again?
Yeah, there's some incredibly powerful storytelling in this game. Like, there's a lot of involvement to do with BJ and his father, who you get to see at the start. So
that was distressing.
There's a very emotional scene at the start, which sets up a lot. So you kind of learn to feel that the reason BJ sort of feels this way is because his dad's such a piece of shit, and he had very anti-Semitic influences like. Thing.
But so, even in that same scene, it's like, oh, wait, I can actually kind of see where he's coming from.
Yeah, and that was
this.
The point. So,
and then it just flips it back over again.
It's in the first like 10 minutes or so, so it's not really super spoiler. So there's a moment where you're playing as you and your mother's in there. As a child. It's 1919. Your mother's talking to you like, hey, you know, I know you're unwell. I know what your father's like, which essentially like the idea he beats the fuck out of you. So he comes raging up the stairs, you hide in the cupboard, your mother's protecting you. It all comes to this discussion about he's angry at you, at BJ, because you were talking and being friendly with an African-American child. Now, initially, the way he delivers it in a sort of tone of, you know, this is our livelihood. We're in a, we're in a time and place right now where you can't do this. Like, everything I have built in this family for this bit, like for my job, everything, our entire livelihood could be ruined if people find this out. Mm. So I had empathy for the character for a moment. I'm like, okay, so you're not a piece of shit.
You're just thinking about your family,
like,
and the repercussions.
You're coming at this from a different way. Like, you're just like, we can't, like, this is our life. This is our livelihood at stake here.
And then he kicked your dog and punched your mum.
Then he proceeds to make a bunch of fucking anti-Semitic jabs at your mum.
Yeah.
You know, and smacks her in the face. Your dog runs out. He boots your dog. Yeah. And then you throw vases at him and then he chokes you out. Like, I had, in that way, it's incredible that I don't know whether that was intention or not, but. Fuck, like that one moment I've gone, okay, not so, oh, you piece of shit. Like, literally, like,
you went from hating him to empathizing with him to fucking hating him even more in the span of like a minute and a half.
And like, that's incredible. That's actually incredible. Yeah. And then you proceed to a scene where your hands are strapped to like a horse, like a workhorse, like an actual horse, like a floor bench horse. And then you're giving the ultimatum. He's forcing you to shoot your dog.
He's to like, learn a lesson.
Learn a lesson that, you know, sometimes tough decisions have to be made.
Yeah.
You have to weed out the animals, I think is sort of one of the things he says. And you can make the decision. Either you shoot the dog or you can shoot off to the side. And if you shoot off to the side, it kicks back and he shoots the dog anyway. So like...
It's from what I've seen, it's very powerful storytelling mixed with very, very crisp gameplay.
Yeah. So from that, as the story progresses, you learn a lot of where BJ's sort of desire to fuck up Nazis stems from that, and that whole intolerance, you know, that sort of thing. And it's really cool. Yeah.
A lot of interesting characters. You got the dude with his head half caved in. He's cool.
Max.
Got the I'm guessing she's the main villain, the German chick with the scars on her face. Yep. And the interactions with her daughter are so good.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking, but so
she's
expertly written.
The villain is an exceptional character. Mm. Like, as in from... Because I don't want to go too spoilery, so we're going to keep it to what we showed in the stream at least. You know, like, you see her genuinely being a crazy person.
Yeah.
Like, acting
she's off her fucking
someone's
rocker.
Head off, and then proceeding to mock around with the head. Like, she's genuinely crazy.
Yeah.
Genuinely crazy.
Yeah.
And then when you've got, you know, the daughter coming and joining your party, and there's a great character you come along with later. I don't know whether we found the character in the stream as a black woman whose name has completely forgotten me, but she's exceptional. You find her at the end of the Manhattan level.
Oh, okay.
We
stopped halfway through that level.
Okay, cool. And she brings a bunch of stuff, and she's fucking good.
Well, you know it's good writing when we only had one scene with who I presume to be the main villain. Mm. And at the end of that 1 3-minute scene, I was like, I can't wait to shoot her in the face. Like, it was all there. In one scene, I was like, you're the bad guy and my hatred towards you is at a 10 and I am so excited to get through this and to fuck you up.
Mm.
And, you know, it's hard to build a good villain these days. it really is difficult because, you know, we've seen everything before and it's always a spin-off of another one and whatever. But even though we've seen Crazy before, yeah, that one scene was just written so well. I was like, I'm in. You're a fuckhead. I can't wait to put you down.
And like, there's a scene that was shown off in one of the trailers where you're in an old-timey diner and a Nazi officer comes in and you're undercover and he's like, yo, can I get a strawberry milkshake? And he's bullshitting with you. And then he kind of goes, you look really familiar. Can you show me your... He does a little bit of Schultz's character, so Christoph Waltz's character in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of like a nice interrogation. No,
wasn't Schultz in
Django? Schultz was Django, sorry. Yeah. Landa was the character from Inglourious Basterds, where he's doing like, oh, yeah, man. So can I see your papers? It's like, yeah, man, cool. Guys, this is you're in section six. Where's section six? Like, I just don't seem to recall it. And then luckily, and then, you know, it's incredible, like not as intimidating as, you know, Landis in Inglourious Basterds, because like that first scene of Inglourious Basterds, which is just, it's so like intense.
Yeah.
This is a similar intense, but you kind of, a part of me already sort of knew that I might get out of it.
Yeah.
And then as the guy goes to leave and turns around, because like when that level, when that section builds up, when you're heading, spoilers, you're in America. I'm not going to say where you are in America, but... yeah, you're in America and there's literally a billboard with your fucking face on it that says wanted, you know, like BJ Blazkowicz for like crimes. And then he turns around and sees a poster and goes, yeah, and like, it's fucking nuts.
Okay. Well, I don't feel like we can say too much more without getting too spoilery. That's so we might leave
Wolfenstein
there.
If I say any more, we're going to get super spoilery. This game is so fucking tight. It is so good. Like, I loved the New Order, but I got to a point where I got stuck and I just couldn't get out of it. It might be difficult. You think I might?
You got to come to my way of things and just drop.
I was gonna play things in easy
because I played most of the stream on the easiest difficulty. You got like the dummy in your mouth and stuff. And I was just fucking axing dudes left, right, and center, and it was so much fun. Remember that hatchet shot? And the stream was like, holy fuck. I was like, yes. I'm keen to, I want to get through it. I'll wait till you're done with it and I'll grab it off you.
Yeah, like I said, I pretty,
but I'm keen, right. Keen so, as mustard to get through this game. Highly recommend. We don't really deal in scores because I fucking hate them and you fucking hate them. You haven't quite finished yet. So this is more of a first impression.
Like, I'm really close.
I'll put it on a fucking highly recommend. I don't know how we want to do it, but I don't like putting numbers
like,
to
in
things.
In terms of like a, because we don't really have a review sort of, like we discuss things. That's sort of what we do. We don't really have like a scale, but I couldn't recommend this game enough.
Yeah.
Like out of all the games, you know, like that are out in that week and that are coming out at the end of the year, Wolfenstein is one you have to pick up.
Well, the only fault I can give it is if you're a little bit squeamish, you might want to be wary.
Yeah.
Because it's quite graphic.
And it's very rewarding shooting and tomahawky Nazis.
Speaking of tomahawks and stuff, on to the next game. Assassin's Creed Origins.
So thanks to our friends at Ubisoft Australia, when we came home on Friday from PAX, after I bought it at PAX, came home to an envelope with Assassin's Creed in it. Yeah, so I've spent not as much as I probably should with Assassin's Creed, but like I'm
once again, okay. first impressions.
Yeah.
So I've only played what I played at EB Expo. In the video I did where I essentially said it's just more Assassin's Creed because that's all I saw.
Yeah.
In what I played of it then and there, but you've played it. Was I wrong or was I right?
Yes and no.
Okay. In a good way or a bad way?
Both. So, it is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. It is a Ubisoft game.
So, for better or worse, there's a lot of similarities. As in, you still climb up the Eagle Vision thing.
What is going with your mouth?
I need water like bad. Huh. My mouth is super dry.
I have a little bit left.
Just cleared that out.
It's all my back wash.
I could probably message the wife and say, can you please bring some water in?
Well, you give it the pitch. I'll get you a glass of water.
Yeah, okay. So Assassin's Creed Origins is the Ubisoft's return after 2 years of not making any Assassin's Creed games. And there are some really clear advantages as to taking that time off. The biggest one is visually. The game is incredibly good looking. Now, as one of the component, like a game that is sort of being shaped, and hey, there's a cat in here now, that was sort of shaped for Xbox One X being One X enhanced. It makes sense why it looks beautiful. So I'm playing on a PS4 Pro on a 4K TV. They didn't launch with HDR. HDR came in a patch, but fuck, HDR really makes this game pop just visually. Do you want to get this fucking cat out of here?
I can't touch it. I'm allergic.
Oh, okay, we'll leave it here then. Let's deal with it.
I'll get it. Rufus. Rufus.
Rufus, get out of here. Hey, hey over there. What? It's Josh. You like Josh? Go, Josh. Get the fuck out. Go. Go. Name. Yes. No, I'm just leaving it in here because it's funny. but yeah, so Assassin's Creed is dope. Like, it looks incredibly good, like stupidly good at moments, but then sometimes also looks really average too. Like, lip sync is a little off. Face model sometimes really off. Sometimes really good.
Yeah. Inconsistent.
It's inconsistent. It feels, it does feel a lot like The Witcher in terms of its world, and like the idea that it, well, one, the map is fucking huge.
Is the world interesting though?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because that's the thing, is that I remember watching the NoClip series for The Witcher, and the lead designer said, we've got a rule that running any direction for 30 seconds, you need to come across a point of interest or something to do. Mm. And that was their general rule. That's why the world feels so packed, because they were actively like, you can't go 30 seconds without finding something, and they made the game around.
So 30 seconds is quite a long time.
It is a long time, yeah. But in a world of that size, and what you find is always interesting in one way or another.
Yeah, there is some really cool shit. Like, you know, the big temples are really pretty. Like, as someone that really enjoys Egypt, it's perfect for me, because like I like exploring the tombs. I like looking at the hieroglyphics. You know, I like sort of
mummies.
Mummies are really cool. I'm yet to, you know, like, I haven't climbed the pyramid yet, but like I'm gonna climb the fucking top of that thing. Mm. Yeah, the character's really interesting. One thing, it's funny because I was playing it, it throws you straight in the deep end with the character, right? Like, you're not like, you know, hey, he's your character and you learn new skills. Like, hey, here's most of your skills. Like, you're already a pretty solid killer.
Like, that's
cool. The game sets you out with the idea of killing six people that have wronged you in the past. And then the opening credit, like part of the opening gameplay, is killing the first one. So out of the bait, you've already done a six of your objectives. But because it throws you in so deep, the story can seem a little bit over your head.
Okay.
So, but like, and
you're struggling with words at the moment.
Yeah, because it's difficult to play. So the story was, I couldn't click on what it was and what it was wanting from me. So because the game itself is very loud, or is like, if I have a volume that's fine for me, it's great. All the cutscenes noticeably lower in volume for some fucking reason.
Okay,
I don't know why. So I had to turn subtitles on so I could hear read what they're saying. That changed the story in an instant. Boom, and then everything made sense because they all have an accent, but it's not a bad accent. Like, the voice acting is a little stilted at sometimes, and I think the accent's part of that. But having it written really helped me go, okay, you're this character. Like, okay, I know, like, I couldn't pronounce your name, but now I see how it's written, hearing you say it, I'm like, okay, cool, that makes more sense.
Does it dick you around back into the animus and all that much?
It does. Animus, but it's not as boring as like the original animus Desmond. It's really interesting.
Right, okay. That's what turned me off. Yeah. The original games anyway. I was never big on Assassin's Creed because I got the first one. I'm like, this is sick. I'm an assassin in Italy and whatever else it was. And
then,
like,
Jerusalem.
Wherever it was. And then it pulls you back into this world and it's like current day. And I'm like, this is not what I wanted from this game at all. And I put it down there. I was like, I'm out.
Spoilers.
Because it never seemed interesting.
Yeah, so the first time that you desynchronize and you come out of the flashback, whatever the fuck it's called, you're a woman and you're in like this little portable animus and you're actually in one of the tombs. Like, you're in the tomb of your character.
Oh, that's interesting.
So you can walk out of the tomb and start wandering in the exact same area. It's one of the biggest problems.
So you got the same map, but twice over.
A little bit. Like, so I've not really explored too far out because the story's like, get back in the animus, get back in the animus. Like, it's not saying, hey, dick, like, you know, the other one's like, hey, dick around here for a while.
Mm.
It's like, hey, you're out. You've desynchronized, get that drug over there.
And get back in.
And then get back in.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go explore. They're like, you probably should get back in. I'm like, okay, cool. So rather than throwing you in like something that creates such a disparity between the two, by having it, you're in the tomb and you're literally hardwired into this guy, is very interesting.
It's cool.
It kind of makes it, even when you transition between the two, it's not so jarring because like, oh, I'm still in that place, but just a different time.
Yeah, okay. Cool. I mean, do you have much more to say about it? Or
look, it's... Did the two-year break do it good so far? In some ways, yes. Okay. It still keeps a lot of the Ubisoft formulas, which is fine. The changing of the fighting system, beautiful. Mm. Where you could previously just smash square and fucking fight everyone and they'll come at you one by one. Yeah. So it's really easy to clear them out. Now it's a little more Dark Souls, you know, yeah. Everyone says that, but you know, as in you have to be shielding the whole time and you've got light attack, heavy attack, and then you've got to dodge, you've got to duck, you've got to weave, you've got to like, you parry, you lock on a particular people, you know, you there's a lot more thought that goes into a battle now rather than just being bombarded.
Come across any bugs? As the running jokes go for Assassin's Creed games.
I haven't yet. I don't think it's crashed on
me. That's a good thing.
I think South Park crashed on me.
Oh. Well, that's a good way to end that then. No bugs so far.
Yeah, look, I'm really enjoying my good time work. With it. Yeah. Our buddy James, James Waters, loved it. He's a big AC fan. Mm. So there's a lot riding on this game for
him. He put a lot of hours into it and he said... that's only with minor dicking around as well.
So. Yeah, and I'm glad he really enjoyed it. So that means a lot for an AC fan. Mm-hmm. As myself, it is a game that does seem huge enough and dense enough to kind of be daunting for me, knowing that I have other things to play. Mm-hmm. Looking at your screen, you've got the drop open, and yeah. Like Call of Duty is on the sides. You know, I picked that up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you picked that up.
I haven't even touched it yet. Yeah. But I'm thinking for Wednesday, you and I play God Zombies.
Okay, works for me.
Yeah, God Zombies.
All right, that's it. If
Yes,
thank you. I was going to segue, but I
can't. Huge thank you to Bethesda Australia and Ubisoft Australia for helping us and supporting us by providing this game to us. Much appreciated. We do certainly appreciate it.
As we move into the segment we call Coming to the Players, all the games you can play this coming week. Ace of Seafood, PS4 digital.
What?
Stop me if you want to stop me. ATV.
What the fuck?
Okay. You can now openly admit to the desire we all share to become seafood. Because Ace of Seafood is an action game where you scavenge the depths of the ocean while battling other life forms and increasing the strength of your own forces.
This is nothing.
You're essentially Aquaman. By the sounds
Are you Aquaman or are you the fish?
I don't know. Mm. ATV Drifts and Tricks, PS4 retail. Cursed Castilla, Matilda Castilla EX, PS Vita. Digital. Discovery, PS4, PSVR. Yeah, but it seems to be more I watched the trailer. It seems to be more optimized for VR.
Oh, let's take a look. What's it say?
It could be put to any of these games. Explore a giant world made of blocks and modify it with your own creations. Construct houses, build entire villages, cities, monumental constructions, or dig deep underground.
Having it in VR is interesting. I might consider looking at it.
I watched the VR trailer and it looks cool in VR. A little more... A fair bit more graphic fidelity than Minecraft Ghosts. Ghost in the Toy Box, Chapter 1, PSVR. Hand of Fate 2, PS4 Digital. Jeopardy! With an exclamation mark, PS4 Digital. League of War VR Arena, PSVR Digital. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale Series, Episode 5.
Wow, that's taken a while.
PS4 Digital. Max, The Curse of Brotherhood, PS4 Digital. Apparently this is rad. And this is really, really
looks like good. Kind of looks like an old point and click.
Yeah. Well, I think it's 2D. From what I can't remember, but I remember seeing something going, this looks awesome. Minecraft Story Mode Season 2, Episode 4, PS4 Digital. Need for Speed Payback.
Oh, yeah.
PS4 Digital and Retail.
I'm going to chase that down. Might as well do that.
Neo Complete Edition, PS4 Digital.
That game killed me in like 8 seconds.
That game did well. I'm glad it did.
So I've got a buddy of mine at work, right, who plays Neo, and he... destroys it.
Yeah.
As every time a new DLC or something comes out or a new difficulty, he'll come to me and go, "Hey, I'll play the new difficulty," and he'll tell me all about it. And he's like, "Yeah," then I got to his point. And I'm like, I'm not quite there. Like, I'm really close to the end, but I'm kind of not feeling it. Whatever, whatever. And then 3 days later, he's like, "Yeah, I maxed out the thing." And I've never known someone to just go back and demolish a game like he has. It's really impressive.
Cool. Professional Construction, The Simulation, PS4 Digital.
Sweet.
Sonic Forces, PS4 Digital and Retail.
So not the 3D Sonic. So if Sonic Mania did it for you, don't play this one.
Yeah, I mean...
It looks interesting. If you like Sonic, I don't like Sonic.
3D Sonics have not been well received. Way of Redemption, PS4 Digital. Wheel of Fortune.
Hey!
PS4 Digital. Whoppo, PS4 Digital. Thankfully, a quiet week. I mean, there's a lot of games there. Yeah, but none that I'm really interested in, but there's no big AAA... titles here. Of course, Horizon the Frozen Wild expansion is out on Tuesday as well. And I think they put expansions as part of the drop.
Yeah, so that's the 7th.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yep.
For us, I think. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So yeah, that's a big release coming out next Tuesday. Probably the biggest of the week. Well, easily the biggest of the week.
Yeah, and PlayStation stuff like outside of everything else is on here. That is by far like the only exclusive, and that's
the
huge.
Most yeah, the most notable. But yeah, that's it. Show's over. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube, iTunes, and other podcast services. How do you join that conversation? Head over to our website, www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Give us your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for the show. If a week between shows is too long, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, and please join us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/popculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. And one last reminder for the players, bonus episode tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. Please make sure you check that out. It's exciting.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.